know, I have these old memories of roller skating, not blading, or roller skating, doing crossovers, flared pants, disco ball, all reverse, couples only, all sorts of weird things.
Did you have the Dominion Precision skates? Remember those, the black ones?
No. Oh, yeah, those are the cool guys had those ones.
Yeah, and you put the tongue down and you tie the laces around.
Well, Dr. Christy Funk has got to be introduced with that song, let me tell you. She is Beverly Hills breast cancer surgeon, worked on people like Angelina Jolie, Sheryl Crow. She's author of Breast, the Owner's Manual. Breast cancer, number one killer of women between the ages of 20 and 59. I did not know that. Here's another fact. Most commonly diagnosed cancer in women.
Wow.
Another statistic, 1 in 8 women in the United States will develop breast cancer. And only 20% of those diagnosed have a single relative with breast cancer. This is blowing my mind. Let's get Dr. Christy Funk on the show. Dr. Funk, tell me, every interview you've done, somebody has introduced you with some kind of funk song. Come on.
That was the best intro ever. True, I love it. And I have to just, for the record, say, I started off with those roller skates with you wore your own tennis shoe and you just put it in.
Oh, you are not that old. You are. I've seen pictures of you. You are not that old. Oh, wait, you do.
I'm 48.
Okay, so I guess really, you know, what's it like being just a breast surgeon? Because that is not where you thought your life was going to take you.
Exactly. I did not at all. I started off thinking at the age of 4 that I wanted to be an actress. And as I wound through a billion plays in junior high and high school and ended up at Stanford in the drama department, I realized that I loved psychology and had this brilliant moment where I wanted to create a genre called psychodrama. I didn't think it existed. Turns out it does. But I made it up and wanted to help children who were struggling with illness or some sort of trauma work through their mental and physical issues with the tool of drama. So that was my big vision, and I was studying toward that when in the middle of a night, pulling an all-nighter, studying for a neurobiology final, it wasn't an audible voice, but it definitely was an epiphany moment that came straight from God into my head. It was a thought that I couldn't shake, and it simply said repeatedly, "You're going to be a doctor." And you have to realize, the only doctor I knew, God bless Dr. Martini, who's still alive and 95 years old, but the only doctor was my pediatrician, who was old and has long nose hairs and ear hairs, and I didn't think that was someone I wanted to emulate. So it seemed odd to me that I would be a doctor, and I ignored it, thinking, that's cute, but I'm going to be a psychodrama therapist. And I kept studying, and the thought wouldn't shake. And I ended up taking that final the next day, flying to Africa, where I had a pre-planned a whole summer being a short-term missionary in Kenya. And it was in Kenya where I realized the thought didn't come back. God didn't, like, pursue me with that you're going to be a doctor thing. He just put it in my heart when I was in Africa that, man, the true joy in life comes from health and love. And if I can spend my God-given talents helping people maintain or obtain health, then I could bring joy into their lives forever. And that was it. I heeded God's call, came back, changed everything around at Stanford to be a pre-med major, and here I am.
Okay, I've been wanting one of those experiences my entire life. How come you got it?
I took yours, sorry.
Yeah, thanks. It was supposed to be mine. I knew I should have been a breast surgeon. So is it just, I don't know how to sound this or say this without sounding like a 12-year-old boy, but is it just breasts that you like? It's all breasts all day, every day? That's your thing, right?
That's my thing. Nothing below the belt. Just breasts all day, all night. I'm singular focused on that. Benign and malignant disease. The breast can do all sorts of crazy things that women think might be cancer when in fact it's just normal lumps and bumps.
I know so many females who are around the, I'd say between 40 and 60 age, who don't want to go and get the test and the mammogram and have their breasts squished between the machine and And they're like, I felt a lump one day and then it disappeared, so it's probably gland and blah, blah, blah. So there's this avoidance or ignorance or whatever. How do you, I mean, are you out there just sort of screaming from the hilltops? No, get them checked now.
I am. Generally, hilltops are not as effective as media, like your show, but I do scream it wherever I can because there are a lot of things we can do to maximally reduce our risk, but, you know, hopefully not, but if you do get a breast cancer, our best way to cure it is to have it be early stage, and that is missed unless you're screening. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I like women to, I know Canada has a different take on this, but I like women to start mammos if they're at normal risk at age 40 and to get them every single year without stopping or skipping years until they plan to die in the next 5 years.
What do you mean Canada has a different thing? I've got Cameron on the brain. I just finished talking with Candace Cameron.
I should have looked it up, but I think the recommendations for mammography are to begin at age 50 and do every other year. Could I be wrong?
You're asking me? I don't have a clue.
Let's see.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't wreck a good story with facts. The bottom line is that there is an avoidance in getting this stuff looked at. I mean, I can imagine. I'm trying to equate this as a guy. It'd be like, you know, having some doctor look down there. It's like, I don't want that. And here's the other thing.
You know,
I became friends with my doctor, and she's a woman, and I don't want any contact. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. You don't have to deal with what you do not know is there. So the attitude is oftentimes like, I'm so scared that I might have breast cancer that as long as I know, I don't know that I have it.
Right.
I don't have to do anything about it.
Right.
Well, that attitude, unfortunately, leads to late-stage diagnosis, right? Because eventually it's going to bulge out or even push through your skin, and it's kind of hard to ignore at that point. And so something that was a curable stage one has now become an incurable stage four. Something that didn't need chemo now needs chemo, you know.
Right. I have a friend who wrote a book about beating breast cancer through natural stuff. And I like her, and I trust her, and I believe that to be her journey, and that it was true. But there is a part of my brain that goes, really? You're going to cure breast cancer by eating carrots or whatever the thing is these days? How do you feel about that? I mean, and do you get flack for your angle on this? Let's hear your angle first.
Well, here's my angle. I think that people can potentially reverse very early, like ductal carcinoma in situ. That has been shown in labs, not in actual people studies, although there's some ongoing studies looking at that. Here's what I think. A healthy diet and lifestyle can certainly provide a hostile environment inside your cells so that cancer don't get the fuel they need to continue to grow and survive. When women, quote-unquote, cure their own cancers, though, I would maintain this. We find a ton of breast cancers that are biologically super lazy. Like, they weren't going to kill anybody until they were 250 years old. But we found them. So now that you find it, most women don't want to just do a little self-test and see if they can make it go away with tofu and carrots. So they excise it and maybe radiate, maybe even do chemo, take anti-estrogen pills. It's called the overdiagnosis and overtreatment of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because a biologically lazy cancer didn't need anything, but we're not confident enough to say for sure, this little guy can just sit in your breast forever and won't cause you harm. So this woman that you know probably had a lazy one, and it regressed under her lifestyle alterations, and therefore she cured herself. But screaming that from the rooftops is extremely dangerous because most breast cancers are not going to be wimpy.
PinkLotus.com is the website, and her name is Dr. Christy Funk. Is there a different attitude towards breasts in the Beverly Hills area than there is in the rest of the world?
No, there is not.
So it's actually not Silicon Valley?
Haha. I mean, there is obviously there's a robust plastic surgery world in Beverly Hills, but that is also an extremely large city. So the majority of women don't have silicone inside, and even if they do, they are just as concerned as any other woman about disease popping up inside their breast tissue and devastating their lives. So I, by the way, did just look up in Canada, the Canadian Task Force on Preventive Health recommends that Canadian women start mammography at age 50 and get it every 2 to 3 years and stop at age 74. So there you go.
The bigger question in all of this is, how did you look that up while you were talking to me? There's no way I could have done that.
I just knew what to Google.
You women are just fascinating creatures. The multitasking abilities is phenomenal. I would just shut down. There would smoke come out of my head. I want to know about the myths.
I'm also making my kids lunch right now.
Oh, stop it. Show off.
I'm not.
Crocheting an Afghan or something. okay, let's talk about myths, because I love myth busting.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So one myth that you busted at the top of the show, which is worth repeating, is that people think erroneously that the majority of breast cancer is caused by family history or an inherited genetic mutation, when in reality, a mere 5 to 10% has to do with inheriting a gene mutation. 87% of all women with breast cancer do not have a single first-degree relative with breast cancer. So this disease is not predominantly genetic. It is predominantly under your control to a greater rather than lesser extent. So I'm talking nutrition, alcohol, exercise, obesity, hormone replacement therapy, stress, environmental toxicities, things that you can reduce or eliminate from your life. Another favorite myth of mine, deodorant and antiperspirant does not cause breast cancer. I know I've heard and looked at all the studies about aluminum compounds and parabens, which aren't even used in antiperspirant anymore. And there's absolutely no scientific link between deodorant, antiperspirants, and breast cancer. So do what you want with your BO. If you want to go all natural, that's fine, but you don't have to.
No, well, I'd like to correct you on that. It's not fine. Okay.
Oh.
It's just not fine.
Okay. Not a big, right.
Speaking of that, Dr. Funk.
Good one.
I want to know what. Hold on. Are we done with the myths? Because I've got so many questions.
No,
oh my goodness.
There's so many. Let me throw out a couple more. Okay. It really does paralyze women, and I there's so much you can control that I know does cause breast cancer that I just get annoyed when you're focused on something that has no connection and think it matters, like your bra. So I don't care if you have a wire or no wire, if it's tight, if you wear it for 12 hours or 80 hours, bras don't cause breast cancer, however you put them on and fasten them. So bras are fine. Another biggie, cell phones. So a lot of women in the quest to be hands-free will tuck that little...
I know, my daughter does that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that on air. Well, it's out there now. My daughter does that. She shoves her cell phone down her bra. Dude, that's not cool.
It's like a built-in pocket. So anyway, it turns out that the non-ionizing radiation that comes from cell phones is the wrong kind of electromagnetic field. It's just too wimpy to cause DNA breaks, as is the microwave, the television, infrared. So... power lines, they're all fine.
Okay, so she can shove a cell phone down her bra and climb a hydro line or a power line.
Okay. And yes,
got it.
She might text you an indecent picture by accident.
You don't ever want that from your daughter, let me tell you. That's not cool. Not cool. All right, any other myths?
There's so many. They're all in chapter two.
Okay, chapter two of the book. Get the book. PinkLotus.com. The book is called Breasts, the Owner's Manual. Can we talk about man boobs, please?
Sure.
Do you have customers that are men? I'm sorry, clients?
Patients. I have a number of men that I see for two different reasons. One, they will have a lump that is either cancer or gynecomastia, which is an overgrowth of the breast gland in men. So breast cancer does happen in men. It turns out that we all start out as girls. In utero. So until about the 6th week of fetal gestation, we are all genetically girls, and men have already made their nipples and tiny breast buds by then. The testosterone kicks in, and they generally don't develop the actual breast mound, but the breast tissue is there in small quantities, so it can get breast cancer. Women in the U.S., 1 in 8. Men, 1.3 in every 100,000 men.
Whoa.
So
okay.
Not nearly as common, but does happen, and men tend not to know that, so they ignore a lump and what could have been stage 1 and stage 3 because they're not realizing that it's something that needs to get checked out. More commonly, things like marijuana or anti-hypertensive medications or anti-ulcer medicine, reflux, there are a bunch of meds that cause gynecomastia, which is an enlargement of one or both breast glands in men, and then they come see me for that. I've seen men with discharge out of their nipple, and I've seen benign tumors, lipomas, little fat tumors that can grow with a capsule around them.
Okay, I want to stop talking.
Okay.
Man, I grew up in the funeral business. I'm fine with anything after someone's died, but when it comes to discharge and things like that. Oh, you want to ask a question? Why?
I've heard like stage one.
Yeah.
I've also heard stage three and stage four. Is there a stage two? What do these all mean?
Great question. So we stage all cancers. It's stage zero through four. Zero is in situ, so it hasn't actually invaded the duct of the breast so that it can't go anywhere and travel. So stage zero is the best because it's 100% curable and you never need chemo. And then the stages just vary based on how big the breast cancer is inside the breast, if it went to lymph nodes at all, and if it did, how many, and if it went out there into an organ like liver, lung, brain, or bone. So based on the answers to those things, you get a stage, and stage correlates with prognosis.
Dr. Christy Funk, Beverly Hills breast cancer surgeon, author of Breast, the Owner's Manual. The website is pinklotus.com. Dr. Funk, when it comes to, what is it called? I don't even know the right terms here, but radical mastectomy. Did I get that right? In other words, I think I might, so I'm going to get rid of them?
Oh, that's prophylactic. So when you don't have any disease and you remove your breast anyway?
Yes. Yeah, or there's a history or something. I don't know, whatever, you know. That's something, yeah. I just remember hearing in the news. Somebody did it and people were judging them for it. Does that ring a bell?
I heard of some one person doing that.
Right.
Yes. So,
do you have an opinion?
The most common reason for removing a breast that's perfectly healthy is that you have an inherited genetic mutation from either parent, which is important to know. Even doctors don't realize that dad's family history is just as important as mom's. You are half of your dad's DNA. So BRCA or BRCA is the most commonly known, but there's other ones with letters and numbers like CHEK2, PALB2. These mutations dramatically increase your risk for getting breast cancer. And particularly for women whose lives have been devastated by an early death of loved ones from breast cancer, they realize the impact that this genetic mutation can have, not only for their own lives, but for those they leave behind should they get breast cancer. So when you have a big heads up, knowing you have a gene mutation, and say somewhere between a 30 and 85% lifetime risk of getting breast cancer, depending on what mutation we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Women oftentimes, generally around age 35 to 45, somewhere in there, when they're maybe done childbearing or they're in a stable relationship, they have they're just ready. They decide to remove their breasts and usually reconstruct with implants or their own body tissues. Oh. And by removing their breast tissue, they're theoretically never, ever going to get breast cancer.
But did you not say earlier, I don't know why I'm whispering all of a sudden, did you not say earlier that it's not genetic? In other words, if someone in your family had breast cancer, it doesn't mean anything?
I 5 to 10% of all breast cancer can be blamed on a genetic mutation. So the okay. majority, around up to 90%, cannot.
So it's really low. Okay. All right.
But it happens. So.
Yeah, yeah. Let's finish with this. I want to be mindful of your time because we're Canadian. We're very polite. Sorry.
You are my two best friends. You're Canadian. They are so nice. They're like human sugar.
No. And that means we're not good for you. big breasts versus small breasts. Any difference in terms of chances are you will get if you have bigger or small? Any of that math makes sense?
It's a myth. So bigger breasts usually just have more fat in them than the actual gland, and it's the gland that gets okay. cancer. So size doesn't correlate.
Size doesn't matter. What about impact? I've heard that if they get hurt or something, you know, some kind of, I don't know, impact.
Whoever told you that is just trying to freak you out. That's a lot.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff. There's so many rumors in this world that you work
there
in.
There are.
I'm so glad you've written this book. This is required reading for anyone with breasts, I'm going to say. Breasts, the Owner's Manual. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, because that's my final question. Having children, it does have an impact on the health of your breast. True story?
That is a true story.
Yeah.
The younger
yeah.
you are when you have your children, the more protected. But having children and the love and the struggle and the awesomeness of it all far outweighs the risk to getting breast cancer.
I'm so thankful that you came on our show. I know you're in hot demand, and we're nobodies up here in Canada. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Christy Funk. And I wish you the best dealing in the world that you deal in. And I'm glad someone like you, who is constantly looking upwards, I guess wondering about the design of this world by a designer, I'm glad that God has placed you where you're at, is what I'm trying to say. So,
thank you, Drew.
Kind of cool.
I am too.
Kind of very cool. Dr. Christy Funk, I appreciate your time. Thank you, Christy. Can I call you Christy? Is that okay? Are we friends now?
Yes, Drew.
Okay.
We are.
Thanks, Christy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Christy Funk on the Drew Marshall Show, pinklotus.com. That is the website, and the name of the book is Breasts, the Owner's Manual. Breasts, the Owner's Manual.